Good morning. It is good to be here with you all today. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, because you love us, because you give us these moments that we can remember the cross and remember Jesus. And together, thank you for that. So God, I pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to us through your words. I pray, God, that you would draw us to you. Help us to know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we are starting off the year. We have been for the last couple of weeks. We will be today, next week, which I think gets us through the first month or so. Talking about desire. Talking about what we should always desire. But specifically this year, focusing our desires so that our desire, it will drive the rest of our lives for this year, so that we will be going in the right direction as we go through this year. Because, and this is a couple weeks ago, but we saw that our desire drives us. It focuses our thoughts. It makes the words that come out of our mouths normally have to do with what we desire. Even our complaints, the stuff that we're not happy with in life, it has to do with what we want and what we go after. One way or another, we end up getting. I keep wanting to say it behooves us. Hey, that's probably like 30% of us know what that word means. It's in our best interest to, it's an old word. My dad used to say it a lot, probably still does, but it behooves us to think about what it is that we desire and what we want and what we're going after, what our hearts are set on. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. In the middle of Jesus teaching his disciples to pray, when he's asking them what to pray, what he's telling them what to pray for, in the middle of it, even before he gets to ask for what you need, ask the Father to give you the stuff that you need to keep, you know, physically living on earth, look at what he tells them to ask for. Tell me this shouldn't be our desire. Matthew 6, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a desire to want his kingdom, not my kingdom, his will. It's a desire to want to know him and have other people know him. That's what should be at the center of our desires. It's his will and not ours, his kingdom, not ours. And so we've been asking ourselves, I've been asking it, I hope you've been asking it with me, an uncomfortable question, again, at least for me, maybe not for you, but a question that I found uncomfortable over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to ask it again. The question is, what do you desire? When you think about what you want, what is it that you really, really go after? If you look at the way you spend your time and your schedule and your money and what you think about when you idle mind time and what bothers you in life, what is it that you desire? What is it that you want? What are you chasing after with your life? And I think, at least for me, that the more that I ask myself that question, the more I see I could desire the kingdom more. I could desire his kingdom more because I really desire my kingdom. I want my stuff. I want mine. I have my agenda and I work and I think about and I focus on mine. I could desire his kingdom more. So the last couple of weeks we've asked you the question, okay, how do I desire the kingdom more? What are some key things that I should desire if I want to desire your kingdom come, your will be done? If I want to focus my desires this year on his kingdom, what are some key desires? And we saw one last week. This week we're going to look at a second desire. Desiring God's kingdom, desiring for his will to be done, focusing our hearts on him and what we should want with God is a desire to know him deeply, to have a profound knowledge of God, to know God, to know him, to experience him, to be close with him. I'm going to say look at, and if you're fast with the Bible flipping, keep up with me. I'm going to be looking at the verses that I copied into my notes, and I know that's cheating, so I apologize, but just go along with me. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. We're going to look at 3 through 6 and then 23 through 24. So 3 through 6, he's talking about the people's sin, but look at the root of their sin. They bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood and not truth has grown strong in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil. They do not Know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone beware of his neighbor and put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Huge indictment. But then look what he says, heaping oppression upon oppression and deceit upon deceit. They refuse to know me. And skip down to verse 23. The whole chapter is good, but we have time limitations. Thus says the Lord, do not let the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. He comes against them and he says, you're sinning, you're heaping oppression upon oppression, you're lying, you can't speak the truth. All these things that it goes back to, you don't know me. That's the root of their sin. You don't know me. And then in the second part that we read in verse 23 and 24, he's saying, here's what you should go after. You should want to know me. That should be your desire. It should be to know me, to know who I am. Look at Paul's prayer in Ephesians. The other side of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at what he says. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So he's saying, I always pray for you. And he's going to tell them what he prays for them. This is so much better than, would you pray for this? Oh yeah, I'll pray for that. And then maybe not praying for him. He's saying, I have been praying for you all the time, continually. This is what I pray. Look at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Of what? In the knowledge of him. It's knowing God. Knowing God. That's what we should desire. Paul desired that so deeply, not just for himself, for these people. It was what he wanted for them, that they would know God. And then flip to the other side of the Bible. Go back to Deuteronomy, not back to, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And here I just had to pull a verse out of a hat, because one of the huge themes of Deuteronomy is loving God and knowing God and loving God. They're one and the same. They go together. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, and you could read the whole chapter. You could read most of a big chunk of the book and find this theme over and over again, but it's here. Deuteronomy 30 verse 15. See, set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I command you today, how do I obey God? By loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Before blessings, before living and multiplying, even before obedience, it's loving. And in fact, it's obeying by loving, and other obedience comes out of loving. It's loving God. That's what God wants. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to know him, to love him, to have a deep connection, a relationship with him. Look at Genesis. Go back just a little bit. Not as big of a jump. And I know we just read this a little bit back, but I thought, you know, this is a perfect tie-in. We looked at this story in depth, but let's just look at it for a moment and think about it in this context of knowing God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Just a story of a man who, the notable thing in his life, the thing that distinguished him from everybody else in the genealogy in that chapter, if you read all the rest of them in that chapter, it's he walked with God. He knew God. He desired to know God, and he did. He gave his life to walking with God, and then God said, I want you to be with me, and took him. And a lot sooner than the other people in his lineage. And it wasn't described as a tragedy. He only lived half as long as the rest of them, or even less than that. Whatever the fraction, big fraction. Why? Because he was with God. He knew God. So what does it mean to know God? What is all that? If you put it all together, what does it mean? It means to have a friendship with him, to know him as you would a friend, to someone who you spend time with, someone who's important to you. It's knowing God is knowing him as if he were a person, not just having, you know, kind of a concept of who he is. It's spending time with him. It's like Enoch. It's walking with him. It's you going through life side by side with God, and that means talking with him and conversing and you speaking and him speaking. And it's knowing God. I think there's a big theme that goes through the Bible, and this will probably come up in another message sometime, but it's fearing God, right? And knowing God leads us to be, the more that we know God, part of knowing God is being concerned with what he thinks. And even more than what will they think, or what will this person think, or should I or shouldn't I, is what will he think? What does he want? That's knowing God. It's factoring in him into your life, not in just a little way, but he becomes the one that you spend life with. What is knowing God? I know this is a weird sentence, but just go with me. Not. What is the opposite of knowing God? What are things that we might substitute for knowing God and think, I kind of know God, but when in reality, these aren't knowing God. It's not knowing him as a concept, having a category. That's my, you know, church stuff, my church friends, a dry idea of just a theory. I can debate God. I can win arguments about God. That's not knowing God. That's knowing things. That's having knowledge. It's knowing God is not being religious. It is not merely attending services with other like-minded people on a regular basis. That can definitely be part of knowing God, but that by itself is not knowing God. It's not even doing correct things. As good as doing correct things are. That's not in essence. That's not knowing God. It can come from knowing God, but in and of itself, it's not knowing God. It's not just being good. It's not knowing things about God and knowing, having knowledge, and it's not even having good theology. As good as good theology is, I love good theology, but that's not knowing God in and of itself. It's not being able to debate and win arguments. I already said that, but that's worth saying again. Look at Matthew 15. And this is Jesus talking, using words from the Old Testament, but he's talking to the religious leaders of his time. And look at what he says to them, the indictment that he gives to them. He says, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What's he saying? You think you know God, but you don't. That's a paraphrase. My paraphrase is, you think you know God, but you don't. You act like, and you say the right things, and you go the right places with the right people, and you have the right ideas, and you know everything correct, and but your heart is far from me. You can know things about God and not know God. So why is this one of the top three? Why is, in at least in my mind, knowing God such a big thing that we should desire? I should want to know God. Why does that make the top three desires that I would say these are things we should desire deeply as we go through this year? Not just this year, our lives, but this is the year we're living in, so this is what we're thinking about. Why is this desire so important? Because, well, for one, without knowing him, everything else doesn't matter. Look at just continuing that same verse in Matthew 15, verse 9. Jesus continues, "In vain do they worship me." So your heart is far from me. I honor me with your lips. You say the right things, you know the right things, the right words come out, but your heart is far from me. You don't know me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In vain, but because they didn't know God, because their hearts were far from him, didn't love him, they didn't know him. Jesus said, what you do with the religious life you've given yourself to, and these were people who had given their whole life to that, that it's in vain, has no value. If it doesn't have any value for them, how much less for us? It doesn't get us anything. We lose what's most important if we don't know God. In other words, you could say our eternity depends on knowing God, not knowing about God, Not saying the right things or doing the right things, although that can come out of knowing and should come out of knowing God. But even deeper than that, knowing and loving God. That's what's important. That's what makes everything else we do not be in vain. And the absence of it makes everything we do be in vain. Flip over to Matthew 22. We'll look at verse 36. This is Jesus saying, this is why it's so important for us to want to know God. Because Jesus says, this is the most important one. Remember last week when I said that we're going to do three, and I said, I don't know if I said this part, but I was doing them out of order. The order I wanted to do, I wanted to do this one first, because I mean, this one is just first. This one comes before the one we talked about last week. This is the most important one, and that comes from this. This is Jesus says, this is the most important one. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, they asked Jesus, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? The great commandment, the great, that's top one. The bestest, the biggest one, the great commandment in the law. I know it's not a word. I said it that way on purpose. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. That's the one. That's the big one. That's the most important one. That's the most important thing we could desire. That's why it makes a top three. It should be the top one. If we only had one to talk about, this would have to be it. That's why it's so important to want to know God, because that's what God wants from us. That is the thing that God wants from us, for us to know him and love him and our hearts to be inclined towards him. It was why Jesus came to the earth. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. This is a beautiful verse. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. You say, who is that? Is it Jesus? Is it God? We're in Christ, so it's probably Jesus. And then he says, we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we're in God the Father, we're in God the Son, we're connected with them, we know. So who's the one who is true? He's saying God the Son came to give us understanding that we may know him who is true, so we may know the Father. Jesus came, it's John 1, right? He came to reveal the Father to us. He came to make God known to us. That's why Jesus came. That's why us desiring to know God is so important, because that's why Jesus came to earth, so that we would be able to know God, and not just know God, but then have access to him, and through his cross and through his blood, that we would be able to approach the Father with confidence, and not just know about him, but actually know him and be his children. That's why we should desire this. So the big idea, desiring the kingdom, that desiring what God, his kingdom, not mine, that's desiring to know God deeply. It's having the desire, I want to know him. So how do we fulfill that desire? How do we make that desire a reality? If I want to know God, what do I do to know him? How do I know him? What's the ingredient, the crucial ingredient? Remember last week I said there were going to be three examples, crucial ingredients. Last week we got chocolate cake. We kind of did reverse order again. We started with dessert. This week is arguably my favorite. What's the crucial ingredient in pizza? Well, don't answer that. What are some ingredients in pizza? Crust, dough, yes. Cheese. We started with the boring side, the crust. What's that? Pepperoni? Okay, what else? Yeah, absolutely. The onions on top when they get cooked in. I'm a fan of that. Anybody like pineapple and ham? I hated it, but I think 20-some years of marriage has softened me to that. I now like that. There's a lot of things you can put on pizza. What's the crucial, and I put a lot of thought into this week, so help me come up with the right answer. What is the crucial ingredient? The one, you take it away, it's not pizza, and you put it there, it is pizza. Cheese? No. It's yours. It's pepperoni. It's pepperoni. You put pepperoni on, it's pizza. Take that off, and that is the crucial ingredient. And if you disagree with me, you're wrong. But what's the crucial ingredient to fulfilling the desire to know God? That if I want to know God, what are some ingredients? What are some things that we can do? Some ways that we can seek God and draw closer to him. What are some things we can do? Pray, talk to him. Exactly. What else? Read the Bible. Yes. I added the Bible, not just general reading, but yes, read the Bible. Absolutely. What else? Have an open heart. Have a heart that wants to seek him. Yeah. If someone said fasting or singing, meditating on the word, those would have been be correct answers as well. There's a lot of things we can do. What's the crucial ingredient? And again, not one right answer, but this is what I think is the right answer. It's reading the Bible. You can't just read the Bible and know God, but I am convinced you can't draw closer to God and know God more and more and deeper and deeper and fulfill that desire to know Him without regularly, constantly reading His Word, listening to Him, reading big chunks of the Bible. You can't know God more and more without doing that. You can do that and not know Him more, but you can't know Him more without doing that. So it's, I say read the Bible. What are we not saying? What's defined the ingredient? It's not turkey pepperoni, right? As good as that is, because you know you have to watch the weight and whatnot. But what are we not saying? We're not saying reading books about the Bible. And I write books about the Bible. I think that's a valuable thing. That's not what we're saying. That's not the crucial ingredient. It's not reading studies. How many of you read on your phone? The YouVersion, the Bible app. Anyone? No. Okay, so some, there's wonderful studies in there, but have you noticed some of them are kind of more books, like, you know, there's a lot of man talking and then a little bit of God talking, a little bit of, you know, Bible verses. Those are good. It's like reading a book, you know, like opening up a book about the Bible, but that's not what we're talking about. It's as good as that is. It's not listening to sermons. Like, well, you read a lot of the Bible today. I did, but that's different. This is different, or putting a sermon on, you know, the little ear things is different than, that's not what we're talking about. That's good though. It's not reading, this is a YouVersion. So if you don't do YouVersion, just ignore this, but it's not reading the verse of the day. I know that is the Bible, that it's not just reading the verse of the day. I read my Bible for today. That's the one they said I had to read today. That's not, what is it? It's spending time reading every day, multiple times throughout the day, big chunks of the Bible, chapters of the Bible, and meditating in what you've read. That's what it is. And you say, well, why is that the crucial ingredient? Let me give you one scripture. Go to Hebrews. I'm acting like I'm turning. I'm just going to read from here. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Why is reading the Bible the crucial ingredient to knowing God more and more? So the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Why is it the crucial ingredient? Easy answer. It's His Word. God spoke this. He breathed this out. And He speaks to us when we read it. He gets through His Word and through His Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, that's what this is, right? He speaks to us when we read this. The message doesn't change, but He talks to us as we read this. He gets inside of us. That's what this verse is saying. He reveals ourselves to ourselves, and He reveals His will for us to us. That connects us with Him. When we listen to God, we're connected with Him. We draw closer to Him. You can't know God without listening to Him. You can't know Him better. You can't draw closer to Him. You can't love Him more without listening to Him, without reading His Word. And if you do read His Word, you will know Him more. So how do we incorporate that crucial ingredient of reading the Word regularly and in big chunks into our lives? How do we do that? Well, flip to the middle of your Bible. Go to Psalms 119. We incorporate this ingredient by doing what David said to do. Look at what he said he did. This is a testimony. It's not him saying to do this, but if we do this, we'll incorporate this ingredient into our lives and we'll know God better. Psalm 119, start in verse 7, or 97, I'm sorry. That would have been a long reading. Let's start in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I want to read this. It's my meditation all day, so I think about it. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. So I'm always thinking about it. I'm always reading. It's a constant thing. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. So I think about it. I understand more than the age, for I hold your I keep your precepts, so I obey it. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my mouth, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And if you say, I don't get that last one, because when I read the Bible, I fall asleep. I can barely keep awake. It's like the driest, dustiest thing. Yeah, because it's a spiritual battle that takes place, because the enemy of your soul knows that if you read this, you hear your Father and he speaks to you and you draw closer to him, and he doesn't want that to happen. And so he tries to make this the most unattractive thing. But when you say, I want this, I want to know him, and so I'm gonna battle with this. I'm gonna battle with this until I'm gonna read this. I'm gonna make myself read it. David said, always gonna be with me. I'm gonna meditate on this. I'm gonna think about it after I read. I'm gonna take a phrase. I'm gonna think about that phrase that in that whole chapter I read. And there's that one phrase. I'm gonna just think about that phrase for the rest of the day. It's always gonna be with me. I'm going to read it again in the evening, because it's better than sweeter than honey. So it's like you're in bed at night and it's midnight and you're about to turn off the television and you think, you know, too much information. And you just go to the freezer and get a little bit of ice cream. Or what's sweeter than that? What would be more delicious right now than ice cream? My Bible. I could read the word. That's what David is saying. So that doesn't make sense. That's not... You have to experience it for it to become real. You have to do it for it to become that. It doesn't just happen. You have to grow to love and grow to become addicted to it even more than you would like the Rocky Road or something like that. Is that still an ice cream flavor? Okay, good. He reads it. He thinks about it. What does that mean? Well, it means if you're on YouVersion, start a plan, an aggressive plan of reading the Bible, a chronological reading, or the Bible in 90 days plan, or the machine. I love that one because it reads you. You're all over the place, so you don't get, you get a lot of it. Start one of the reading plans, the ones that make you read chapters, like a chapter a day or multiple chapters a day. Start several of them so that you have one you can read in the morning, one in the evening, and maybe on your lunch break, there's another plan that you read. So you always have Bible coming in. And if you say, I have a newfangled tech stuff in, pick a book. Just say, I'm going to be reading. What book are you reading? That's my boys, they don't want to have a plan. So what their thing is, I was asking, well, what book are you reading? There's a book that they're reading through, and they want to pick their own book. So that's cool. It's, you know, they're independent people. So have a book that you're reading through. Do one from the New Testament. Have one from the Old Testament. Mix it up. Have a plan and then think about it and then do it. That's what David said. Do it. So what should we do if we want to go through this year desiring to know God? If there's something in you that says, I do want to know God. I want to know God more. I want to walk with him. I want to experience him. I want it to be a thing that I know, that I don't just know here, but I know here. I know what it's like, that I know that I know God. Then we have to start a new habit. And this is one of those for the rest of the year. Start a habit. What will your habit be? If you don't read the Bible at all regularly, I don't mean like Sundays when I'm talking, but regularly, like every day, if you don't have a Bible reading every day, I get up in the morning, I read the Bible every morning, then make that your habit. Just say, I'm going to get up in the morning, and first thing I do, I'm going to read the Bible. I will have less time to do a little bit of other stuff, but I can eat and read, or I'll figure it out, but I will read the Bible in the morning. I'll read something, a chunk of the Bible, a chapter, several chapters. Or if you say, I don't have a plan, well, then decide on the plan and make that habit every day. Read the Bible. If you say, I do, I already read in the morning, so this is my free Sunday. I don't have to add to it. What did David say? Always with me. I sweeter than honey. You wouldn't say, I've already had honey today. I don't need any more ice cream. I don't need any. No. Then maybe your habit is before you go to bed at night, just turn the television off a little earlier and read the Bible. Have another plan that you're reading at night. And if you say, well, I do both of those, so surely I don't have an application from this. Well, if you want to know God more, you got to listen to God more. So if you read in the morning and night every day, read over your lunch break. Add something to your reading with God. So what's the new habit that you would form to read more of the Bible every day and be closer to God? Because, listen, I don't want it to be like a legalistic, you got to read the Bible, you got to have a plan, how much did you read today? It's not that. It's we will be transformed if we read more of this every day. As we go through this year, God will transform each one of us individually. We will know him more. We will not be the same at the end of this year if we do that. And If you're not a Christian, if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, you've been listening to this and talking about knowing God and reading the Bible, new habit, and you're like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to read my Bible. Do that. But I don't want to end today without giving you the opportunity to truly know God, to know God as your Father, because if you're not His child today, the Bible says you're His enemy. That's very drastic. And even though you can hear His voice when you read the Word, you don't have His Spirit inside of you. You're not His dearly beloved child. And you can know Him as your Father. You can know Him up close. Even though right now your rebellion and your guilt is separating you from Him because of Jesus and the cross, you can know God face to face. You can come into His presence. You can have His Spirit dwell inside of you. And so if you're not a Christian, that means you deciding, I'm going to give myself to Jesus. I'm going to decide to follow Him and repent and be baptized. As I do that, I'm going to give myself to Him, and He's going to be my Savior. He's going to be my Lord. And in this community, in this family, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone, and you can know God deeply as your Father. Why don't we stand, and we'll pray together, and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to You and we thank You because You are so good. Thank You, God, for inviting us to know You and commanding us to know and to love You and commanding us to, in that, commanding us to do something that is so beautiful and precious for us. So God, I pray that You would help us be a community of people this year that listens to You. And that by doing so, that we would come to know You more deeply as we go through this year. Help us, God, to read Your word, to hear Your voice, and to know You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.